ओम ज्ञानति निबंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 25 टेक्स्ट 6 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील A.C. भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद फाउंडर आचार्य ऑफ इस्कॉन। Those who are interested only in a so-called beautiful life, namely, remaining as a householder, entangled by sons and a wife, and searching after wealth, think that such things are life's ultimate goal. Such people simply wander in different types of bodies throughout this material existence without finding out the ultimate goal of life. Purport. Those who are too much attached to family life, which consists of entanglement with wife, children, home, and wealth and home, are engaged in kuta dharma, pseudo-duties. Prahlad Maharaj has likened these pseudo-occupational duties to a dark well, andhakupam. Prahlad has purposefully spoken of this dark well because if one falls into this well, he will die. He may cry for help, but no one will hear him or come to rescue him. The words, Brahmyan Sangsara Vartamasu, are significant. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly explains, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev. All living entities are wandering in different types of bodies throughout different planets, and if, in the course of their wanderings, they come in contact with a devotee by the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their lives become successful. Even though King Prachina Barhishat was engaged in fruitive activity, the great sage Narad appeared before him. The king was very fortunate to be able to associate with Narad, who enlightened him in spiritual knowledge. It is the duty of all saintly persons to follow in the footsteps of Narad Muni and travel all over the world to every country and village just to instruct illusioned persons about the goal of life and to save them from the entanglement of karma bandha, fruitive activity. Narad Muni has come before King Prachina Barhishat and he's explaining to him how material life is miserable. At this point, Prachina Barhishat is accepting that. This verse is spoken by King. This is the beginning of spiritual life. To understand that this material world is miserable. To be disgusted with material life. It is the great power of the illusory energy of Krishna that we take this material world to be a place of enjoyment. Although the enjoyment is very insignificant. Yan maithunadi grihamedhi sukham hi tucham. Prahlad Maharaj uses the word tucha, which means very insignificant. Material happiness, the summum bonum of material happiness, the highest peak of material happiness is sex enjoyment. But Prahlad Maharaj says this is insignificant. Yet simply for this, people are struggling and suffering so much. Here also, Prachina Bahi is admitting after hearing from Narad, that this grihamedhi life, or attached householder life, is simply rascalism. He has called it kuta dharma, which means false occupational duty. In Gita, we several times find the word swadharma being used. Swadharma means each person's individual, personal occupational duty. That generally means that if one is a brahmana, he has to execute the duties of a brahmana. That is called brahma dharma. Then there's kshatriya dharma, vaishya dharma, shudra dharma, stri dharma, duties of women. But Krishna says, sarva dharman parityaja, give up all these varieties of dharmas and surrender to me. Mamekam sharanam raja. On the material platform, according to the psychophysical makeup that we have, and according to our position in society, we have so many duties. But our real swadharma, or our intrinsic duty on the platform of the soul, is to serve Krishna. Now it's interesting that Krishna told Arjuna, give up all these false occupational duties and surrender to me. But at the same time, he engaged Arjuna in fighting, which was his duty as a kshatriya. Krishna explains in Gita that everyone has to do some work, everyone has to do something, you can't do nothing. And everyone will act according to their nature. That means that everyone has acquired a certain nature according to the qualities of the three modes of nature. So while advising to give Arjuna to give up all false occupational duties and engage in the actual occupational duty of service to him, Krishna, Krishna still engages Arjuna in fighting. But Krishna engages Arjuna to fight for Krishna's sake, not for the sake of his own sense gratification. Krishna told Arjuna, you think you can run away from the battlefield, but it's your nature to fight. If you don't fight on my order, by your nature, you will be impelled to fight anyway. Arjuna had been in the forest. He was exiled along with his brothers for 12 plus 1 year. So in the forest, the rishis, they go and they meditate and they live a very peaceful life. But we see that Arjuna, especially Arjuna and Bhima, and all the Pandavas, they were engaged in one fight after another. If you see Mahabharata, simply they were fighting with the different Rakshasas and the Gandharvas and the Nivitha Kavachas, and again and again they were fighting. So that Krishna said that whatever is going to come to you is going to come to you, but do it for my sake. Now it's not that Arjuna is a conditioned soul under the modes of material nature. He's an eternal associate of Krishna. But even the eternal associates of Krishna, they have different personalities and duties to perform in Krishna's service. And great devotees like Krishna, they come with Krishna to show the behavior of a perfect person within this world. It would not be that Arjuna would be more perfect if he had simply sat and meditated on Krishna and been very, very peaceful. But rather, he displayed the behavior of a perfect devotee of Krishna by executing his duties in the service of Krishna. So in the same way, we find throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam is condemnation of materialistic family life. Family life is the cause of destroying our spiritual tendency. It is compared here to a dark well. If you fall in the dark well, you're doomed. Sometimes our devotees hear this and they think, well, I'd better get out of this dark well. But that may not actually be the best thing for their spiritual life. Yes, don't be in a dark well, but to artificially renounce duties without being ready for that, that is also not recommended. Arjuna was recommended, don't give up fighting, but fight for me, Krishna said. So in the same way, those who are in household of life, they should give up the false occupational duties of thinking in terms of I, me, and mine. But if family life or any position in this material world means that we have some attachments to this material world. We all have attachment. It's not that a brahmachari is not attached. It means he's in the brahmachari ashram to practice detachment. Sannyasi is supposed to be the most detached of all ashrams. Still within the sannyas ashram, there are rules and regulations. Most importantly, don't associate intimately with women. That presupposes that even that one who has taken such a vow of detachment, that some attachment is still there. Not necessarily attachment, but the tendency to become attached is still there. The topmost stage of the sannyas ashram is the paramahamsa stage, in which he has factually achieved the perfection of life. He no longer has any more material attachment. He's fully attached to Krishna. But there are other stages also before that. So all these varnas and ashrams, they're meant for purification. Purification means to become free from material attachments and to become attached to Krishna. So those who are in the Grihastha ashram, and most people in the world go through household life. They may think, well, this is all nonsense, this family life. Let me get out. Let me leave everything. We have seen this several times, that devotees think, all right, now I'll renounce. But then after a few years or a few months or a few weeks, they renounce their renunciation and again become attached. In other words, the detachment wasn't internal. It was simply they wanted to do that externally. So just as Krishna told Arjuna that if you don't fight on my order, anyway you'll fight. So in the same way, someone who's not ready for that renunciation, if they take it up artificially, then they'll go back again. So yes, we should all become renounced. Without developing a sense of renunciation from this material world, then there's no question of spiritual advancement. These are very strong words being used here. Murha. Prabhupada has given translation, rascal. This is spoken by King Prachinabari, a householder. We also find Yudhishthira Maharaj in Bhagavatam describing himself again to Narad Muni as Griha Murhadhi, foolish rascal entangled in material, in householder life. Griha Murhadhi. What does it mean? What does it mean, one whose consciousness is absorbed in the rascaldom of attached family life? Sometimes I become subject of attack for saying these things in Bhagavatam classes. But I would just like to make the point that I'm quoting householders who are saying this. And actually it's a fact. I'm innocent.
Я не виновен.
So actually that's the fact, that materialistic family life, it's all nonsense. Krishna conscious family life, that is very good. So we should all become Krishna conscious, yes. But still, this is a dichotomy in family life for devotees. In Bhagavatam, Prabhupada also recommends that a householder should externally appear to be attached, but internally develop, cultivate renunciation. Not to falsely, artificially become renounced. Or not to give up the responsibility for spouse, children, elderly parents, and so on. But to go on hearing these descriptions of Bhagavatam, so that we can become renounced from the concept of I, me, and mine, following the footsteps of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who said, Manasa deho geho jo kichumo apilantu apade nandikisho, that nandikisho Krishna, I'm thinking this is my home, my wife, my friends, my mind, but everything is yours, let me offer it to you. Actually, those who are pure devotees of Krishna, they don't have to hear these topics of renunciation, because their minds are spontaneously attracted to Krishna. But for all those who are not pure devotees of Krishna, it's important to hear these topics, because even after having heard them many times, still our tendency is very strong to try to enjoy this material world. Yeah. There are two mentalities. One is called the enjoying spirit, and one is called the service attitude. The service attitude, that is the attitude, let me serve Krishna. And the enjoying mood means, let me enjoy my senses independently of Krishna. So even while practicing Krishna consciousness, we have a very strong tendency to slip back into the enjoying mood. So we're not against enjoyment. In Krishna consciousness, actually, we're the only people who enjoy. We're the only people who are happy. But our attitude is that, let me serve Krishna. Let Krishna be happy by my actions. Devotees take happiness in the happiness of serving Krishna. But still, I'm repeating again and again, we have to hear these topics of renunciation because our mind is very wicked. And even we hear these things and we say, yes, yes, and then immediately there's some offer of Maya, here's some nice sense gratification. We say yes, yes to that also. Even I'm sitting here talking all these big, heavy words, but I'm all, you know, I also, so in some sense gratification, yes, yes, that is very nice. I will also try to enjoy. So we have to go on hearing these topics simultaneously with hearing the topics of Krishna, how wonderful is Krishna, and also preach these topics. Prabhupada has mentioned here, just like Narad Muni, he's coming to King Prachinabarishad and speaking to him in such a way as to detach him from his sinful fruitive activities, with the ultimate purpose of attaching him to Krishna. Prabhupada has mentioned here in this purport, it is the duty of all saintly persons to follow in the footsteps of Narad Muni and travel all over the world to every country and village, just to instruct illusioned persons about the goal of life and to save them from the entanglement of karma bandha, fruitive activity. So these topics of renunciation we're hearing ourselves for our own purification and for preaching to others also. Narad Muni, he is famous as the greatest of all preachers, because anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness, they can immediately see how wonderful is Krishna consciousness. How wonderful is Krishna. How much I was suffering before coming to Krishna consciousness. And to see that people without Krishna consciousness, they're simply living in a dream. Actually, nightmare. You may have a bad dream in which you try to enjoy something, but as soon as you try to enjoy, you're beaten. That is an exact description of material life. People are trying to enjoy, but they're suffering. The devotee sees this. He sees every living being as a servant of Krishna. He sees every living being as, without knowledge of Krishna, is simply suffering. Sometimes people accuse us of being pessimistic. Actually, this is not pessimism, this is realism. It is a fact that this material life, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this material world, it's just like a place where people go to pass stool, that's all. But we're trying to enjoy in that place. You see advertisements in Moscow, go to Tunisia, where the sun is always shining at least 15 degrees more temperature than Moscow. And there's nice beaches. Go and enjoy that. Or go and enjoy in New York. But we don't see any advertisements. Come to this toilet full of stool and enjoy that. Go to Bangladesh and visit the toilets.
To that's Bangladesh.
Drive talk Marjan Prabhupada, Shri Maharaj, they can understand that one. But actually, this material world is just like that. Trying to enjoy in this material world is like the worms in stool. Prabhupada has written, I haven't personally done this biology experiment myself, but Prabhupada has explained that if you take a worm out of stool, they'll go back and think, why have they disturbed me? I want to get back to my stool. So we're like that. Everyone in material life is like that. We have a right to enjoy this material world. It's simply suffering. They're hogs, they think they're happy. But they're eating stool. They're meant to be, they're living beings supposed to be dancing with Krishna. But they think, at least in India, that's the standard diet for the pigs. Let me get some stool to eat. So we may think, well, I'm not like that. I'm eating nice food for humans, like sausages, which means pig's intestines. Now this is civilized, this is our high-class Russian culture. Eating caviar, very aristocratic, drinking vodka and passing urine and falling over. And people think this is very high class. If you drink beer, that's not high class, but if you drink champagne, that is very high class. But the result is the same. You talk all nonsense, you pass urine and you fall over. And people think this is enjoyment. It's very strange. What they think is enjoyment. So a devotee, he knows actually what is enjoyment. Enjoyment means, even if you have to sit in some tent in the mud, if you have the chance to chant Hare Krishna with devotees, that is enjoyment. There are so many advertisements, go to Tunisia, go to New York, but the devotee said they don't want to go to sit and waste their time on the beach in Tunisia. They want to be here in Suharevo, in the mud with the devotees, chanting Hare Krishna. This is real enjoyment. And it is anandam vidhivardhanam, it is increasing. You go and sit on the beach in Tunisia, then after 2 days you have a sunburn and it's so boring. And what do? You drink some wine and you pass urine and fall on the ground. The same thing as you did in Moscow. It's simply disappointing. Whereas a devotee, his life is ever more hopeful. That yes, I'm still attached, yes, my mind is nonsense, and yes, I have so many bad qualities. But still, by the grace of Guru and Krishna, I have the chance to chant Hare Krishna. So I know if I go on with this process, then surely Guru and Krishna will be kind to me. And it may take many lifetimes, but I'm sure if I go on chanting and dancing with the devotees, then I will get the chance at some point to join in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing party. So So a devotee is very hopeful and very happy, but there is one thing that makes a devotee unhappy. Pure devotee is always happy, but what is it that makes a pure devotee unhappy? To see others unhappy. He's unhappy that others are not Krishna conscious. So he works very hard, he, she, to try to bring others to Krishna. And in that way, his own spiritual bliss increases also. And as he preaches more and more, Krishna blesses him more and more. And devotees naturally become attractive. Attractive? You must know that word. Krishna's own.
Yeah, I know. I thought it's attractive.
And people naturally become attracted to them. Devotees are naturally blissful. And everyone wants to be blissful. But no one in material life is blissful. You see people smiling. Sometimes. It's not very popular here in Russia among the non-devotees. But the smile, they're smiling with their lips. If you look in their eyes, they're not smiling. But devotee is radiant. Even if he's not smiling, he looks blissful. And people see that. They also want to know, how is it that you're so happy? Sometimes people ask, how is it that your devotees are so happy? And the answer is, because they're Krishna conscious. The devotee wants to make others Krishna conscious. It's not easy. Just like Narad, he had to go through so much preaching to wake up King Prachinabahi. Prabhupada said, I had to shed liters of blood, gallons of blood, even to bring one person to Krishna consciousness. But devotees take that trouble to try to lift up others. So we're all coming here, devotees are coming from all over Russia to have our annual party. No champagne at this party. We're also falling on the floor sometimes, maybe. Drinking charanamrita. Actually, devotees, we have a party every day. The karmis, they need to drink a bit and then they can dance a bit. But we are dancing every day without alcohol and no headaches afterwards. So we're inviting everyone to this party. Devotees are coming here, getting inspiration, and then again going out with more inspiration to bring others to Krishna consciousness. So every devotee here, the aim should be, I will come back next year, either to Suhareva or whatever facility is there. And everyone will come again next year? Jai. So you all have to bring some new people. You have to bring some new people who are not yet chanting Hare Krishna. Can you do that also? If we pray for the mercy of Guru and Krishna, then everything is possible. If everyone makes at least one new devotee every year, and they also make at least one devotee every year, or better still, two devotees, then by geometric expansion, we have the figures in the Bhakti Vriksha manual, then within a few years, the whole of Russia will be Krishna conscious. So why not try for that? We want to make the whole world Krishna conscious to offer to Srila Prabhupada, to offer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a very simple method. Everyone should preach and bring others to Krishna consciousness. Save them from the suffering of material life and bring them to our party, going back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions, please? Oh, all right, we have some written ones already. What's the time limit? We're already over it? We are. Okay. All right, one question.
Guru.
Ranjan Maharaj understands Russian.
Hare Krishna.
He's laughing at the question. That means he understands Russian.
Your Grace, you said that the family is a dark well. But Prabhupada used to say that every woman should get a husband. Can a woman fully devote her life only to the service of Guru and Krishna? Where is the truth? Thank you.
Can do. Can do also within how.